The epistle appointed to be read for this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their deeds you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I draw your attention to those of you, of course, who can, and I realize that there are many in here who cannot, but that Thursday of this week is First Thursday, and that we have two benedictions on holy hours on First Thursdays. And even though it is early, I still draw your attention to the fact that a week from tomorrow, July the 11th, is the feast of our Holy Father, Saint Benedict, and as far as we are concerned, this is a very, very special day. But it's made even more special on that day because our Father John, will make his life vows, his final vows, his solemn vows. And on that day, I ask for your special, special prayers for this young man who is committing his life to the service of his God in this very special way and manner. A novena, we started a novena last night, but there is a novena that we're making to our Holy Father Benedict. If you wish to participate in this novena, we would like that very much. And but you can start it tonight for that matter, or today for that matter, and let it end on the day itself, which is next Monday. Tomorrow is a national holiday. And we wish all of you to have a very holy, holy, yes you can. We can speak of a national holiday being holy, I suppose. Try to have a free day, a good and a safe day. Tomorrow, many people take to water. Let's be careful. Let's not take chances on that water. In today's bulletin, for the third time, we lay stress to the monastic life. This has, of course, been in preparation for the coming vows, but it is also a presentation to our young men in our come here to church, for them to read and to see and to learn somewhat of what it is in a monastic life. There may yet be another part, I'm not sure at the moment, but that there is a special commitment and a special need these days. Again, I want to stress that this is in no way intended that anyone who commits himself or herself to the religious life, that person is a cut above our own goodness. Not so. We merely emphasize to a greater degree that which has been placed upon each and every one of us as a commitment by Almighty God. We are here to do more than what is normally expected of a layperson. And in doing more, we are doing our part to fill in anything that the laity are simply not able to perform. That anything that is missing in their performance, anything that is missing in their contribution, that we, over and above, are adding what we're doing to what might be wanting elsewhere. So it is a very special vocation, is a very special life, and today, my beloved people, need I go into saying how important this is. At the same time, I will say this, that today the commitment demands a far greater degree of faith than it demanded in my day when I said, "Uphold me, O Lord." Today's gospel brings to mind something that we, over the past few years, have taken on as a way of thinking. Our gospel today brings to our attention that we must beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And we should. But unfortunately today, we've taken that to maybe a little farther than we should. And as a consequence, there are so many of us who are very much conspiracy-minded. And we look for conspiracy at every turn in life. That there is conspiracy, or that there is not conspiracy, I am not here prepared to speak of it. If there is conspiracy, God knows. If there is no conspiracy, God knows. And every wolf that is clothed with a sheep's clothing, God knows. And let us say, for example, that we did, by chance or by accident or good fortune, whatever you want to call it, snare one of these wolves in sheep's clothing. If we were to snare him, what would we do with him? If we caught him? Or caught them? What would we do with them? It is a matter of faith, my beloved people, that after all, Almighty God is still in control. He permits, He allows, but He is still in control, and when the moment comes, He will act. And He will act quickly. All you have to do to see how quick Almighty God can act and does act is for you to look back and let us say around 6 o'clock our time, once upon a time, and the most unexpected thing happened and was completely completed, and that by 3 o'clock our time the next day he was dead, tried, convicted, and killed. When Almighty God says now, what part of now do we not understand? And so it is with the things that we have to deal with, and we do deal with them. And we are still forced to deal with them, every one of us, whoever we are, and wherever we are, and whatever we have to do. Every one of us is confronted with that which is not right. What are we going to do? Are we going to run around our lives and waste our lives and waste our time going around with a magnifying glass, looking, 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 looking for these wolves in sheep's clothing? If they are wolves, and if they have determined to be wolves, and if they have committed themselves to walking around in sheep's clothing, that's their problem. Let us not incorporate it into our own lives. Let them be. God knows. And if they are in a state of serious condition, God knows that. And God will either punish or make right whatever has to be. But as for us, my beloved people, let us keep in mind there's only one thing that we need to be concerned about. There's only one thing that I have to be concerned about. And that is my own personal, private, spiritual, or genuine spiritual condition. My running around searching for these wolves in sheep's clothing does not of necessity improve my personal spiritual condition. I probably will find myself watering down things that I need to do in the process of what I think that I'm searching for the malefactors, that in so doing, I'm doing something that will add to my benefit. It doesn't work that way. We have to be very careful that we do not look at and look upon passports to heaven. You think I'm overworking this word passport? No. If you had to receive and listen to the phone calls that come into our house from all parts of this country and elsewhere, people out there are looking for some way to make it to heaven, a certain, sure, unfailing way to heaven. Those who do not belong to our holy religion, and even those who once upon a time were strong acting members of our holy religion, today have come to a conclusion, a false conclusion, of course, in that so long as they believe, that's all that's necessary. As far as performing works, and by works we don't mean going out and bringing food to the poor and mowing somebody else's grass or whatever. By good works we mean always and always prayer, mortification, penance, and such like. Every one of us, my beloved people, whether we like it or not, are bound to this. Some more so than others. Monks and nuns, by their profession, are bound to this more so than anybody else. That's where, if anyone else is deficient, if we may use the word our surplus, if we may use that word in context, then our surplus will go to fill in those spots of deficiency. That's what we're here for. Our prayer life has to be consistent. Our prayer life cannot be just simply coming to church on Sunday or coming to communion on Sunday. We have to live from Sunday to Sunday. And the food, the spiritual food, which of course is, first of all, is our Holy Communion, we know that. But our spiritual food in our teaching or whatever, that we come to nourish and to drink from on Sunday, should help us and keep us going and nourished until the following Sunday. The thing that is important is that we should introvert enough to look into ourselves to see what kind of a man or woman am I in between times. What is my demeanor? What is my motive? What is my thinking? What is anything I do like in between times? It says here, in today's gospel, let us all listen. Not that I am pointing fingers. Of course I'm not pointing fingers, but I do know that everyone in here, either in the marketplace, or on the street, or in recreational facilities, or on a job site, or wherever we may be, amongst our families, our friends, our relatives, that everyone in here is surrounded by people, and I want to use the word good people. They're not necessarily bad people. Surely I would not dare say or think that members of your families are bad people, or members of my family's family are bad people. But they don't think like we do. And because they do not think like we do, they did not act like we do. And we find ourselves sometimes between the devil and the deep blue sea as to what to do and how to do. You know? A difficulty. But somehow in the midst of all of that, my beloved people, we have got to find a way to keep our own immortal souls in good standing. We have to be consistent. We cannot be up one day and down the next. We cannot be hot one day and cold the next. We cannot compromise one day and condemn the next. We have to be consistent, always the same. That's the motto, I think, of our monastery. We haven't yet decided precisely, but in Latin it is said, Semper Idem, always the same. That should be the motto of everyone who loves God, always the same. The love of God has to be first and foremost. Forget all of these other places that are overwhelmed with causes. Everybody today has a cause, because everybody today is fighting. Have you ever seen a puppy dog on the lawns? When you turn him loose, he vacuums the lawn with his nose, doesn't he? Searching for goodness knows what. But searching, smelling. And everybody has a cause and is searching for somebody who is conspiratorial. There's a lot more to do in life than vacuuming those lawns. If there are conspiracies, I will not deny that. But if there are conspiracies, then it will be our consistent prayer, our consistent example, our consistent commitment, our consistent understanding that all things rest with the power of Almighty God. And our prayer, one Hail Mary, it has been said. This seems a little bit far-fetched, but believe me when I tell you. One Hail Mary. With proper soul and proper heart and proper spirit, one Hail Mary is capable of exerting more energy, more power than the efforts and the energy of armies. You think that's speaking much? No, indeed. You kneeling there in this little church, you think yourselves to be nothing. Remember now, on one Sunday I tell you that you are nothing. The next Sunday I tell you that you are something. So please keep everything in context. You are still nothing. So are we. But you, in your nothingness, I'll put it that way, kneeling in this little church, can have more power than armies. Do you believe that? But you have got to reach up with the power of the faith that resides inside of you, and with the power of the grace that has been given to you and is in you, by that power that you have the energy to reach up into the highest heavens and touch the throne of Almighty God. You have that power. And it all comes from the operation of grace that is in you. But it's not a case like it says in the gospel today. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, don't think for a second that because I have come, I am completely covered with holy emotion. I didn't walk into the church. I floated into the church. A cloud carried me into the church. Be careful when you walk on clouds. You might fall through. It is in the simplicity again of your nothingness and your proclamation to yourselves that you are nothing, but that you are aware of the fact that you are nothing, but that you need, and because you do need, you go to the only one who can attend to your nothingness. And then you will exert power that armies do not have. My beloved people, we must believe this. We are in those throes in these days where such talk as this, if the right people were in here at the moment, they would probably send two little men with white jackets and come after me and lock me up because I'm a very dangerous individual. Every effort today, out there, every energy that is expended out there today is used for one big purpose, and that is that I can do it without his help. I don't need him. As a matter of fact, give me time and I will make life without him. Is this not true? My beloved people, here you are, a handful. Here we are, a drop in the ocean. And we simply say, no. We can do nothing. He is the one who is cosmic. And he is beyond all the universes that exist. He is beyond all the planets and the suns and the moons and the stars. All the universes in the world cannot contain him. Neither can all the universes of the world, in a manner of speaking, of course, contain a soul that reflects his image and likeness. That soul is beautiful beyond description. This is what we have to work for, my beloved people. Not a matter of tearing down and building up, tearing down and building up, looking for wrong. Spend your time not looking, but spend your time in prayer. Try in your own homes and in your own little chapels. Try in your own families. It's not always easy. But try to develop a little schedule. Schedule prayer into your day at a certain time. Don't become the slave of that schedule. The schedule must serve you, not you the schedule. You must be free. But that schedule a certain amount of time in your daily lives for prayer. It doesn't have to be something you read out of a book. Some of us sometimes might be embarrassed by reading prayer out of a book. But do what the good saint did once upon a time when he used to go to church, and he would sit in church for long periods of time, saying nothing. Love doesn't talk, does it? Love does not have words, does it? Love does not speak, does it? He spent great sums of time, and he said, I look at him, and he looks at me. What else is there to do? And you have the opportunity, you know, God knows that you cannot go into your church across the street because that church has been closed and turned into a dance hall or a restaurant or whatever else. God knows that you are not within any reasonable distance, but you have in your own houses, in your own homes, a little niche in the corner. You go there even and sit. You look at him, and I'm sure that he looks at you, my beloved people.